Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Saturday, October 12th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate. Let's dive into our topic. Today, we're discussing Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD. Recent CDC data shows that 1 in 9 children in the U.S. have been diagnosed with this condition. Let's start by exploring what ADHD actually is. Eric, could you give us an overview?
Sure thing, Ted. ADHD isn't just your run-of-the-mill forgetfulness or lack of motivation. We're talking about a serious neurological condition that affects millions. It's like your brain's executive function is on permanent vacation. You've got trouble focusing. You might be bouncing off the walls, and your emotions can be all over the place. It's not a walk in the park, let me tell you.
Well, that's all well and good, Eric. I think we need to pump the brakes a bit here. Aren't we just slapping labels on kids for being... well, kids?
Hold up, Kate. That's a dangerous oversimplification. We're not talking about normal childhood antics here. ADHD is a real condition with serious consequences if left untreated. We're looking at increased rates of depression, substance abuse, and even a shorter lifespan.
Oh, come on. Those numbers seem way overblown. Are you seriously telling me that being a bit distracted is going to knock a decade off someone's life?
It's not just about being a bit distracted, Kate. We're talking about a condition that can derail someone's entire life if not properly managed. And it's not just about medication either. There are various treatment options available, including behavioral therapy and organizational skills training. The key is...
But don't you see how this could be abused? We're basically giving kids a get-out-of-jail-free card for bad behavior. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned
discipline? That's a harmful misconception, Kate. We're not excusing bad behavior. We're addressing a real neurological condition. Proper diagnosis and treatment can help these individuals develop strategies to succeed both in school and in their future careers. It's about leveling the playing field.
Let's move on to discuss the prevalence of ADHD in college students. Over 8% of college students have ADHD. Kate, how do you think this affects their academic performance?
Well, Ted, I think we need to take a step back here. College is tough for everyone, right? I mean, who doesn't struggle with time management or feel overwhelmed by assignments? Slapping an ADHD label on students might just be an easy out for those who aren't willing to put in the effort. We're creating a crutch instead of teaching resilience.
I've got to push back on that, Kate. You're painting with way too broad a brush here. College students with ADHD aren't just struggling with normal college stress. We're talking about folks who might be zoning out in lectures, missing deadlines left and right, and having a tough time making friends. It's not about effort. It's about how their brains are wired.
But aren't we just coddling these students? The real world isn't going to bend over backward to accommodate them. Shouldn't college be preparing them for that reality?
That's not what this is about at all, Kate. Proper diagnosis and treatment isn't about coddling. It's about giving these students the tools they need to succeed. Think of it like giving glasses to someone who's nearsighted. We're not giving them an unfair advantage. We're helping them see the board just like everyone else. With the right support, these students can thrive in college and beyond.
Let's look at a historical context for ADHD. The disorder wasn't officially recognized until the late 20th century. Eric, can you tell us about a similar situation in medical history where a condition was initially overlooked or misunderstood?
Absolutely, Ted. A great parallel here is the history of autism. Back in the day, autism was about as well understood as ADHD, which is to say, not at all. It was first described in 1943 by a fella named Leo Kanner, but for decades it was thought to be rarer than hen's teeth. Docs were misdiagnosing it left and right as childhood schizophrenia. It's a prime example of how our understanding of these conditions evolves over time.
That's an interesting comparison, Eric. But doesn't it actually highlight how we tend to over-medicalize normal human variation? Just as with autism, aren't we just
not at all, Kate?
Fancy label on?
You're missing the forest for the trees here. The recognition of autism as a spectrum disorder actually opened doors for folks who were previously left out in the cold. It's the same deal with ADHD. Understanding it as a neurodevelopmental disorder helps us provide the right kind of support.
But the autism comparison also shows how diagnoses can explode once a condition becomes widely recognized. Aren't we risking overdiagnosis and unnecessary treatment? We could be creating a problem.
While that's a valid concern, Kate, you're not seeing the full picture. The historical parallel actually shows the importance of proper diagnosis. Before autism was well understood, countless individuals were suffering in silence without the support they desperately needed. The same is true for ADHD. We're not creating problems. We're finally recognizing.
Let's consider the societal impact. How has the recognition of ADHD changed our education system, similar to how autism awareness changed special education?
I'd argue it's led us down a slippery slope, Ted. We're seeing an over-reliance on medication and special accommodations. It's like we're bubble-wrapping our students instead of teaching them to deal with challenges. Are we really preparing them for the real world? Or are we setting them up for a rude awakening?
You're way off base there, Kate. Recognizing ADHD has been a game changer in education. It's allowed us to develop targeted interventions that actually help students succeed. Just like with autism, understanding ADHD has led to better educational outcomes for a ton of kids who might have fallen through the cracks otherwise. We're not babying them. We're giving them the tools they need to thrive.
But at what cost, Eric? Are we creating a generation that can't function without a pill or a special note from the teacher? What happens when they hit the workforce and realize the world doesn't revolve around their diagnosis?
That's a total misconception, Kate. Proper treatment for ADHD, whether it's medication or behavioral strategies, isn't about creating dependence. It's about helping folks develop better coping mechanisms and life skills. We're not giving them a crutch. We're teaching them to walk on their own two feet. The goal is independence, not dependence.
Looking to the future, let's discuss two potential scenarios. First, what if we significantly increase ADHD awareness and access to treatment? Eric, what do you think the outcome would be?
I'll tell you what, Ted. I think we'd see a real sea change in society. We're talking about potentially slashing rates of depression, substance abuse, and even incarceration among folks with ADHD. It's not just about making life easier for them. It's about unleashing their potential. We could see a boom in educational achievement and job performance. It's like we've got all these brilliant minds just waiting to be unlocked.
Oh, come on, Eric. That's a pipe dream if I've ever heard one. You're painting this rosy picture, but what about the flip side? We'd probably see an explosion of unnecessary diagnoses. Next thing you know,
hold your horses, Kate. You're completely ignoring the devastating effects of untreated ADHD. We're not talking about handing out diagnoses like candy here. Proper treatment isn't about creating dependence. It's about empowering individuals to reach their full potential. We're giving people the tools to
succeed. But at what cost to personal growth and societal expectations? We can't just medicate away every challenge in life. What happened to building character through adversity? We're creating a generation.
Now let's consider the opposite scenario. What if we scaled back ADHD diagnoses and treatments? Kate, what do you think would happen?
You know what, Ted? I think we'd see a return to good old-fashioned personal responsibility. People would learn to manage their attention and behavior without relying on a pill or a doctor's note. It's like we've forgotten that humans have been dealing with these issues for centuries without all this medical intervention. We'd be fostering resilience and self-reliance instead of dependence.
Kate, that's not just misguided. It's downright dangerous. Scaling back ADHD treatment would be like taking away insulin from diabetics. We'd likely see skyrocketing rates of school dropouts, substance abuse, and even reduced life expectancy among those with untreated ADHD. The societal costs would be astronomical. We're not talking about a little distraction here and there. We're talking about a serious condition that can derail lives if left unchecked.
You're being melodramatic, Eric. People have dealt with attention and behavior issues since the dawn of time without turning to medication. Are you saying everyone before the 20th century was just suffering needlessly?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Kate. Just because people suffered in the past doesn't mean we should ignore the advancements we've made. We have the knowledge and tools to help people now. Why on earth would we deny them that support? It's like saying we shouldn't treat infections because people used to just tough it out before antibiotics. Progress is a good thing, especially when it comes to mental health.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. It's clear that ADHD remains a complex and contentious topic. Thank you, Eric and Kate, for sharing your perspectives. Until next time, this is Ted signing off from Listen 2.